Leader of the Swarm Collective, Brad Heinrichs, joins us on the show today. It's a lawless society out there in the transfer portal and NIL landscape. Brad's here to help us dissect what that world has become, what he has learned leading the Swarm Collective. IowaSwarm.com. If you haven't signed up yet, please go do so. You will have by the end of this episode anyway. Let's hear about Cade McNamara and all the other craziness. Let's have a day. Let's go. Welcome in, Washed Up Walk-Ons fans, to episode 376 of the podcast. We have a repeat guest, maybe the quickest repeat guest that we've ever had on. It felt like, Brad, that we just, I felt like you just were on the show.
Well, and you say that, but it's been a really long month and a half for me. So it seems like it's actually been a long time from my perspective.
Well, it's been longer than that. It's been about 3 months. You came in early August, 4 months.
Yeah, and I've had a lot going on. I've lost. I live in Fort Myers, Florida. We had 15 feet of storm surge. I've lost my home, my cars, my dock, my boat. But we've picked up a quarterback. So all is well in my world.
Oh shit, Brad! You lost all your shit.
Yeah.
Everything.
Not everything. I'm not homeless. Let's just say it's not five-star living at the moment. We're having to gut the place and.
Oh my goodness.
We're okay. It's all right. Like I said, we got a quarterback.
We did. And before we hit record, he's like, I already know what you're going to ask. You're going to ask about Cade McNamara and all this stuff. I said, it's not the first question. It's the fifth question. So we will get there. I'm glad that. Yeah. As happy as you say that makes you in the midst of you also losing all that stuff through the storms, I think that Hawkeye Nation was even happier by the response that I saw on Twitter, Brad, and online. Obviously, since we last talked, that was before the season, we were kind of hoping that things would be offensively better. And Iowa had its struggles this year. And, well, you are the man behind the scenes right now who seems to have brought someone to the promised land, maybe the Iowa offense to the promised land. And I'm very interested. Let's kick it off with this. In 4 months since you've been on, what has the Swarm been doing? What have you and your, I think at the time you had one or two people on staff. What have you guys learned in the last 4 months? I'm sure it's a lot right now. As everything's kicking off,
there is a lot that I've learned. But the first thing I think I learned is that this wasn't as easy as I thought it was going to be. I thought the Iowa fans would jump on board in droves and support us. And I came from the Show Me State from Missouri. I didn't grow up in Iowa, and it might as well be Missouri, because it was pretty clear to me that there are a lot of skeptics out there. But once Cade committed, the number of donors for our organization has literally tripled in the last week. So I think that there's some, I think people are starting to become believers in what we're doing, and really excited about the future of Hawkeye sports.
The proof is in the pudding, as they say.
As they say.
And right now, Cade McNamara is the pudding.
he is. And I don't know if the Hawkeye faithful have paid much attention, but he's one hell of a quarterback.
He beat our ass in the championship last year.
We watched that, but I mean, he saved Jim Harbaugh's job. That guy was all but canned until he took over and led him to the college football playoffs. I mean, how many programs next year are going to have a starting quarterback that's taken their team to the college football playoffs? Not going to be many. We're going to be one of them.
That's one hell of a selling point. I got to be honest. So, yeah, that's a good point. he's pretty established. And from what I hear, you know, everybody, all of his teammates say he's a leader. They say he's a charismatic guy, the kind of guy that you want to be around in the locker room. And from what I could tell, he's already trying to, you know, he's hopping on the recruiting bandwagon. He's trying to recruit guys in already. And I love it. We love to hear it.
That's it. I actually listened to another podcast that he was on today. I don't know if you heard that.
I listened to it on my bike ride today as well.
Yeah. With Jordan Palmer and Kyle Allen, maybe. I'm trying to remember who the guy was. Yep. And you know, he had a lot of good things to say there about the opportunity at Iowa and how the coaching staff came to him and says, we've got to turn our offense around. We want to open it up. We want to pass the ball down the field. We want you to be the catalyst for change. And he got real excited about that. Yeah. And so I would expect a different kind of offense next fall.
You're promising something that, I mean, you're not promising it, but you're saying stuff that'll get people very excited on the outside here. By the way, Drake, welcome to the show. Glad to have you here, bud.
Thank you, boys and girls. Happy to be here.
All people want in Iowa City right now is a different offense and maybe a few different people in the positions that they're at, but that's another conversation. I listened to the podcast as well, as I said, and I mean, this might have been a match made in heaven, because the way that Iowa sits right now is kind of in need of a turnaround on that offensive side of the ball. And it sounds like Cade, from what he said, is he has that history, both when he played high school and kind of what he did last year at Michigan. I think he said that they were 4-7 his junior year or something like that. And then his senior year, he comes in and they win a conference championship. And he was sort of a catalyst for that. And then in 2020, Michigan was down and out and wasn't doing so well. And then last year he takes over and now he has a similar position to do it a third time for the Iowa Hawkeyes. I don't even know. And I don't want to get you in trouble here either. Because I know, first of all, just from looking at the landscape, I think the Wild West is like an understated term. It's way past that. Would I be correct?
Well, it seems that way, right?
Are there any rules, Brad?
No, this shit is lawless. It is very obvious. There's some tampering going on here.
There are rules, but I don't know that everybody is following them. In fact, I know they're not.
I mean, who's enforcing them?
There's nobody enforcing. The NCAA right now is I won't say toothless, but they certainly don't have the
damn close
the claws that they may have once had, like when I was in athletics. But
they would have hunted your ass down.
Yeah.
They would have found your ass at Finkbine and just plucked
you out of the building. Oh, I know. Yeah, right. The bag men for those golfers. There's a lot of them out there.
All that money you were getting under the table to golf for the Hawks in the 90s, right?
Yeah, right. They wouldn't have gotten their money's worth, I'll tell you that.
During the season, and I know that you've taken the lead on this, and I think there's probably been some nights where you were cursing other people out, like, why me? Why does it have to be me? Because I have to imagine you feel this pretty solid sense of responsibility now, a lot.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. And I, you know, I said this. I was in at Madison Square Garden for the Duke Iowa game this last couple of days, and you know, I started thinking, like, you know, we never know what's going to happen with this NIL, and the rules may change completely. But if they don't change, then it would not surprise me if the NIL program becomes far more important than the athletics department when it comes to student athletes come on campus, which is crazy to even think about.
That's an insane thought.
It is, isn't it? I mean, we are heading straight towards that.
Yeah.
Trust me, that wasn't something I was seeking when I took this on. But as I'm watching this evolve, it's like college, it's like free agency, right?
That's exactly what it is.
Nobody has to sit out. It's free agency. It's like in the NFL. In the NFL, what, a bottom third of the roster turns over every year? It may be just like that in college football, college basketball.
It's even crazier than free agency, though, because contracts hold people in place. You can't just randomly decide, I'm a free agent now.
That's right.
That's what these kids are doing. They're just saying, oops, peace, I'm a free agent now.
You're right. And it may become more and more rare that a kid plays his entire career at one school.
How bad does that feel, though? Like, that just takes away from what college football is.
Yeah, do you see that as an overall positive or negative for the sport?
From my perspective, it's sort of I view it as a fan, kind of negative, right? I mean, if you think about the NFL, the quarterbacks tend to not change teams as much, but you'll get the defensive backs, the secondary, the linemen. Those guys are switching teams all the time, unless they're one of the marquee players, right? And you will associate a certain player with a franchise. I'm a Chiefs fan. I'm hoping that Mahomes plays his whole career there.
Right.
But you know, just think about the big players from you know, that we worshiped growing up. A lot of times they would stay on the same team, but other players around them may have played in 5, 6, 7, 8 different teams. And that could happen in college now too.
I think it puts a premium on the guys who, and maybe not necessarily that they're more sought after by an NFL team or anything, but from the fans' perspective, I think it's going to put a premium on the guys who are able to find a school right out of high school and then stick with it the whole way, become a star at that school or a significant contributor. Those guys are going to be remembered and probably revered a lot more.
To piggyback on that, Kloof, you know, with this whole NIL environment, would it not be like, if for the guys who are actually looking to make marketing deals, in their interest to stay with one team, one fan base, one geography?
Yes, I think. I mean, Brad could talk to that.
Yeah, maybe. The answer is maybe. And that's where the rules get really crazy. If you think about it, you know, like, I'm not supposed to be able to induce a player to come to Iowa with an NIL deal. That's a rule, okay? You can't induce someone with NIL. However,
meaning you can't go to XYZ player and say, "Hey, I know you're playing here, but here's what we could possibly do for you NIL wise at Iowa. Would you like? Does that interest you?" You cannot initiate it that way.
I can't induce. I can't say I'm going to pay you X dollars.
Right.
You say I can't. That's the rule. Okay. The rules
are kind of blurred right around now. It seems like
they are, but the rule is that I cannot induce a player to come to Iowa with an NIL deal, and that's just crazy if you think about that, because a lot of times the player is wanting to get paid, and who wants to go somewhere and not know what they're going to be paid,
right? It's like signing up for the job offer and you don't know what the salary is.
You wait till the first paycheck comes, right? Does that make any sense? So from the player's perspective, that rule is terrible. From the NIL, you know, organization's perspective, you know, that's kind of, you know, that's not necessarily the best rule either. But it
puts you guys in a weird spot to where you're like, okay, then how.
You have to show the strength of your program. You have to be able to show that if you come in, if you just take a look, talk to the guys on the visit and ask them what they're getting and what kind of deals they have. And you know, if it's a big, you know, if it's of importance to you, you can do some research and figure out just how strong the NIL program is. My favorite part of the Cade McNamara interview today, I don't know if you caught it, but he mentioned that he thought that the strength of Iowa's NIL program was better than Michigan's. And I stopped and rewound that and played it over 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, that was gold.
You're going to clip that and put that one on the internet.
That one maybe, so. I mean, I stuck my chest out a little bit when I heard that.
This was one of my questions. It was on my list. Is he specifically said they were asking sort of, what are you looking for when you decide you're going to transfer and these NIL programs out there and the collectives? And he said, well, it's kind of weird because some schools have their shit together and some don't. They don't have anything. And he mentioned Iowa and, unfortunately, Nebraska in the same sentence. And evidently Nebraska has, you know, a nice setup too, according to him. But Iowa was like, he was high praise for you. And so I was like, oh, hell yeah. Brad's doing something right, baby. Let's go.
I liked that. Yeah, I may have to go back and parse that. But yeah, that was high praise. And it was appreciated that he had such nice things to say.
Does that surprise you that Michigan doesn't have their pockets together there? Like what's going on? You would think Michigan blew. I mean, maybe they're just being arrogant and they're relying on, hey, we're Michigan, right?
Yeah. You know, it really depends upon who decides to run it. Because if you think about it, it's almost counterproductive if you have three or four different collectives trying to support the same group of programs. Because then the public is completely confused.
Yep.
They don't know what to do or who to support, who not support. They don't know who's running it well, who's not. And
everybody's pockets are shallower then, right? Because if you're
putting up
a total pool into four pieces and trying to offer off of a quarter.
Yeah, and I'll be surprised if Michigan's NIL program isn't strong in a few years, right?
Well, after Cade said that, you know they're going to be like, God,
someone's going to get it going there. Yeah. And so sometimes the people that try to run these are former players that are just trying to help give back. And there's nothing wrong with being a former player, walk on or scholarship. Right. But sometimes they don't know how to run a business. And there's a business acumen, a component of this that's important.
That's why I handle the books around here.
There you go.
You're right. It is, man. It's such a diverse sort of thing that you've got yourself into, Brad. And so, I guess going back to that question is during the season, what is the swarm focused on? What's the role? What is the mission? Not the mission statement, but what's the executable things that you guys can do during the season other than kind of using the hype of football to build donors and build subscriptions into your program?
So that's a good question. So what we have two employees still, Scott Brickman, who's basically in charge of fundraising. But we have someone who's focused on fundraising. Okay. And then we have someone who's focused on events. Jane Oswald is in charge of events. And so so he's constantly trying to raise money. She is constantly putting together events with local charities and paying our players to go raise money for these charities or do things with these charities to try to raise awareness of what is their mission is. And so, the kids will – the basketball players during football season had a little bit more time on their hands maybe than the football players. Yep. Now, if you notice, if you're looking at Twitter or Instagram today, we had a group of footballers, football players at an elementary school, and so out of season or at least during bowl prep when there's a little bit more time, then the football guys get to participate. And again, we're trying to use the donated dollars to pay the players, but make them kind of do something good for the community to get that. This isn't just dropping off bags of cash at Hillcrest or Reno or Slater or wherever they're living nowadays.
It's Peterson. Yeah. Peterson.
Okay.
There's some dirty stuff going on in that place. And not that there wasn't in Hillcrest either. Hillcrest was where we lived. And I can say that if you, Brad Heinrichs, would have stopped by in a Santa outfit with bags of cash, I might have played harder. I might have tried harder. Who knows?
Who knows how many games we would have won?
Right? I had a lot of effect on all that. Here's a question for you, Walk-On Army listeners out there. You guys ever had an idea for a t-shirt? You've been sitting around. You're just like, man. You know, someone says something funny, or you have this ongoing joke within your family or a group of friends, and you're like, we should make t-shirts for that. We should definitely have t-shirts for that. Well, AdCraft is your people, okay? AdCraft, they've been doing our merch. Every time I have one of those ideas, I'm sitting here in the Walk-On headquarters in my office, and I'm like, that's it. We got to have that on a t-shirt. Or sometimes you guys are like, hey, we need this on a t-shirt. And we immediately get to work. with AdCraft. Years ago, AdCraft took the time and effort to build their streamlined custom apparel web store service. It wasn't easy, but they felt it was necessary to give their customers a superb experience. And that's exactly what they've done. Their custom merch web store service is designed to make ordering custom apparel and merch easy and efficient. You streamline everything. I'm telling you guys, they literally take care of it all. They're so fast. They get back to me. I have an idea. Bang. Email them. Bang. I have a design. It's crazy. I'm not joking. Their web store curators will work with you to create the most optimal web store for your audience. They'll help you with product selection, artwork, store scheduling, much more. You can raise funds for your team or your club with AdCraft's fan gear fundraising program. You can literally do it all. They can take care of every part of the process. You guys know that we love them. We think you'll love them too. Go to adcraftwebstores.com to bring your custom merch to life. www.adcraftwebstores.com. We're going to get you guys back to the show in just a second, but first we want to let you guys know about our title sponsor, DRF Sports. ia.drf.com. I'll say it again, ia.drf.com, to sign up and start playing now and cashing in with DRF Sportsbook. They are Iowa's sportsbook. They are kind of like the walk-ons. They got that walk-on mentality. They're the little guy trying to make a name for themselves, and they're doing a hell of a job. We're helping each other grow each other's brands. They have some of the best sign-up bonuses, sign up promos, deposit matches, you know, first bet promotions in the game. You're going to get at least one of those when you sign up, and you can start cashing in right now. You can also go visit the official DRF Sportsbook in person at Lakeside Hotel and Casino in Osceola during the season as well. Be sure to listen to our Thursday episodes, the preview episodes, where we will feature our walk-ons times DRF collabs, where we choose a bet each week to boost the odds and see if we can't all make a little green. Shout out to DRF for being an incredible sponsor, incredible people, and helping us here at the Walk-Ons. And so that's what they're doing during the season is
and really the entire year. I mean, that's right. Really what it is. Now, granted, in the summer, there may be a little bit of a break. Sure. Where we'll be just trying to raise, we're focusing on just raising money. But yeah, that's it's raise and spend. You know, we're a nonprofit. We're not trying, you know, and I'm
right. Yeah. I got a question for you. You know, you talk about the guys have to do some sort of community service in order to, you know, get those funds. Mm-hmm. Is there any shortage of events or stuff for them to do so that, like, you know, you can get everybody involved? Like, you know, there's 115 guys on the team, if not more. Like, you know, Not everyone can go sign autographs at the children's hospital or something.
That's right. Is there a shortage? Well, that's our challenge, right? Is to try to find as many events that we can bring as many people to as we can. Certainly there have been some moaning and groaning by some of the players saying, hey, we want to, you know, I'm looking to go to an event, but they keep filling up. Mm-hmm. And I'd be lying if I told you that we didn't send it to the two deeps first, maybe 24 hours before the rest of the team.
That's how it works.
Big dogs eat first, right?
But the truth of the matter is that there's usually still slots available and your walk-ons can join in and partake.
I did catch your slander on the third string long snapper on the radio show that you went on.
I figured that was going to get back to you. I wasn't expecting to get back on the program so I could be like confronted face to face. So
all right, I'm not a scary guy.
There's plenty of community service you can do out there, right? But I'm guessing we're refraining from having these guys, you know, do like manual labor picking up trash on the side of the highway type
stuff. They don't join the chain gang and pick up trash on 380. No, they're not doing that.
If you paid me enough, I'd do it.
Yeah. Well, right. But they are doing some things that require a little bit of moving around, but not much.
Speaking of events, I know we already talked about it, and we're going to talk about it after we record, Brad, but walk-ons might be able to help you with an event. or two.
I've heard rumors that we might be able to partner together, and that would be fun.
Well, that's what my sources are saying. So we'll have to see about that. And right. I think that'd be, quite honestly, a great opportunity for a lot of the players.
Sounds true. Yeah, and in our players, the other thing that we'll do use them for is to help market for us.
Yeah,
They can help in the fundraising for us as well. Basically, just saying that they enjoy being part of the Swarm helps from a marketing standpoint for us.
Absolutely. So I would have been a walking billboard if I was part of this thing.
if you got paid enough for it, I'm sure you would have.
I'm cheap too, Brad.
What have been some of the other challenges since starting this up as far as getting things off the ground and running and, getting to where you want to be 2, 3, 4 years down the line?
Oh, man.
Everything.
The bookkeeping is a little bit more difficult than I had really kind of thought through. I mean, you got to have – we've got over 1,000 members now, and so – on QuickBooks, I've got to have a line item for all for each of the 1,000 people. I'm going to have to figure out a way in a month to send them all a benefit statement for their tax purposes that shows, hey, you just made a tax deductible donation of X dollars to the Iowa Swarm Collective, and this pass this along to, and here's our 501c3. EIN and whatnot. So pass that along to your CPA so you can get a deduction if he thinks that it's worthy of one. 1,000 of those. Thinking that through. Yeah. There's things that you kind of start thinking about if you start doing this.
Some of the logistical stuff that's annoying.
The logistical stuff. I will also
bookkeeping is what gets a lot of businesses in trouble.
Yeah, it's something that I'm good at, but it is tedious. The other thing that's been surprising to me is just that, I've worked with municipal governments and know that they move at a glacial pace sometimes. All right, but I wasn't ready for the fact that the athletic department couldn't necessarily embrace everything that we're doing and really help us out. And I'm not necessarily blaming them.
I will. Fuck you, athletic department.
But the first thing was that I thought, well, hey, we could advertise at Kinnick or Carver. Mm-hmm. We could just, we could put donation boxes all around and people could just throw $10 or $20 at the Swarm. And turns out, well, no, you got to be a partner with Learfield in order to even have a chance at something like that. I wanted to be able to email all the season ticket holders for any of the three sports and ask them for donations. No, you can't do that either.
Hold on.
Yeah, right.
What if those emails just happened to get leaked? Like those email addresses just happened to fall out.
What if we got Hillary Clinton on this?
Yeah, but I mean,
ask for donations as a podcast and then send the funds to you.
However I get the money, I'm fine with. But the point of the matter is, you're talking about challenges, Kevin. I mean, it hasn't been as easy as I was expecting from the standpoint of access. Sure. I had to pay to become a partner with Learfield so we can get our logo inside of Kinnick. But the access to fans, access to the season ticket holders, I haven't been able to get access yet. I'm hopeful that we'll be able to. So that's why it's been more grassroots, Tyler. And so the attention and the just getting our word out has taken longer than I expected. I expected to be where we are now in month two, but I have high expectations. So.
That blows my mind that someone is gatekeeping the season ticket holders.
Well, there's probably some privacy concerns where, they promise that they're not going to sell their email or give their email to somebody else. I don't know, but
I think
I'm just giving you an example of.
I know I understand. So, but it's not you're not like breaking some rule. It's just someone is deciding that they are not allowing you access to it.
It's a tough one, and I'm hopeful that we're going to get it. And I can assure you that
If you need Drake to kill somebody, I'm putting pressure on them. Drake, you're fine with it. Don't act like you aren't. If we have to stick Drake up.
That's only on my own accord. You don't get to volunteer me for that.
The walk-ons have gone up against the athletic department once before, and we're undefeated. So
undefeated. Well, good.
That's all I'm saying.
You've got a better record than I do at the moment. I'm sure that it's all going to work out. It's just, you know, to Kevin's question about challenges, it just hasn't been the door didn't just swing open like I was kind of hoping that it would.
You're having to grind it open, push it open.
I'm having to be the big bad wolf is what I feel like I am.
Do you feel like the awareness is out there though? Like, you know, you've mentioned like haven't been able to get access to like all their emails, but do you feel like the marketing, the awareness, like all the season ticket holders are generally aware of what we're trying to do? Or
I don't think so. I really don't, because if so, I mean, think about how many season ticket holders we have for football. 3 grand, 35,000.
No idea.
More. It's got to be more, right?
Well, there's 60 something thousand seats, but there may be one season ticket holder might have 3 or 4 seats.
Oh, right? Sure. I see what you're saying.
Let's just say it's 30,000, right? Well, I would expect that more than 1 in 30 would be interested in becoming a member.
Absolutely.
Right? You know what I mean? And so we've only got over 1,000 members. So that tells me that we still have not reached our targeted audience yet.
Yeah.
But I think that there's enough people now that are starting to spread the word and say, hey, you know what, this organization is well run, and it's, you know, it's being highly thought of and talked about in circles of the student athletes in the program, and other student athletes that are prospects are noticing and looking at our NIL program is a real positive when they're trying to figure out where they want to go to school.
So I'm going to move back to sort of how you work in conjunction with, I guess, the staff, because you have to be in some sort of line of communication with the coaches and the recruiting department, mm-hmm. because they have to, I'm trying to dance around this. I don't want to break rules. And if you don't feel comfortable, as always, don't say anything. Mm-hmm. They have to convey their level of interest in potential transfers or recruits from high school coming in, whatever it may be, someone that you may potentially want to use NIL money on, right? Right?
Yeah. There's maybe say it a different way. If Drake is wanting to transfer and he's over at a different school and one of his questions surrounds NIL.
Right.
Well, that's not a question for Tyler Barnes or Kirk Ferentz to answer. You know, he can reach out directly to me and ask questions about Iowa's NIL.
But does he have to be in the transfer portal already, or can he just be hanging out with his teammates calling around saying, hey, I want to transfer. How much money you got?
Brad puts his head down like, I can't answer that
one. Yeah, being candid about it, because that's the way I like to be. I mean, you know this happens, right? I mean, you see
right, it. Of course it does. That's why I'm trying to see
supposed to happen? No, it's not supposed to happen, but it does happen. And the other thing is these players have agents now, and so it's not even always the player that's asking the questions.
That was one of the questions from our I said that you were going to come on tonight, and we have a private subscriber base that we allow to sort of combine in some Q&A questions, and one of them was, are the players even asking this? Are they reaching out, or is it sometimes their families or people who represent them who are trying to make the connection so that they don't get in trouble?
The answer is both. I mean, you'll get it from players, you'll get it from agents, and there are some players whose agents are calling. And the player doesn't really care. The parents might care. The agent cares. So sometimes the player cares the least. Sometimes the player cares the most. It really just depends. But it's not. The NIL type questions. You know, that's not really for the football staff to be able to really answer, because that's not their program. You know, they're selling their program. They're selling the opportunity. They're selling, you know, the camaraderie and whatnot that they have in their program, and the NIL piece, they can acknowledge that it exists. But that's really where I come in, is to you know, answer whatever questions if a prospect or whoever has, or an agent has, I can get those questions and I'll get them from.
So you're the recruit's best friend. They want to talk to you first.
Well, sometimes, I mean, I could get a question from an agent that I don't even know that the guys that we're even recruiting the kid, or the kid that the agent's representing, he may be asking me questions about how our collective works versus the one at Michigan State who's actually recruiting the kid. You think about that. I could be actually answering questions to a group of people that have nothing to do with a recruit that I was even interested in. That even happens.
Here is kind of where I wanted to go with that original question was, example, say a collective has 500 grand, right? They've got $500,000 worth of money in their well.
Yeah.
And you know, there's going to be who knows how many people the staff, Coach Ferentz, for example, Tyler Barnes, for example, want to go after, right? Are you talking to them back and forth often to get a sense of like, hey, we got like eight guys that we want, so you can't give them all 100,000 because we only got 500,000 to deal with? Like, are there those kind of conversations going on, or that, like, I don't know how that works. Are you deciding how much that you could potentially offer up to them, tell them that they could have if they came to this school? Like, I mean,
well, again, you got to be careful about the whole inducement piece, right? And that's the part that's just almost.
Well, and I'm not saying induce, but like.
Right. But you can't say, hey, I want to pay you X to come here. All right. But what you can have is player talks to player on team who's already getting X. And then the player could also ask about our war chest or look at our war chest and see what's in it. And then again, they have to look at the strength of our NIL program, the amount of money that we've raised, the amount of money that we're distributing to student athletes, and decide whether this is a program that is a positive to them or something they're interested in or not. It's
there's a lot of dancing going on.
Yeah, it's just awful. I don't like it much from that standpoint.
You should hire Drake. He's great at this.
We can't give them a contract with a business until they show up on campus and I've got someone interested with a contract. And what's also interesting, I can't go to the business and say, hey, we're recruiting such and such player. Are you interested in supporting them? They don't even know what, you know, I can't tell them who the player is. See how this gets really. It's really about building the war chest. And when the phone call comes and they want to know what the war chest looks like,
you can tell them it's bigger than it is.
You can tell them the truth. And the truth is we're not too far away from $1 million raised in $3 million raised in potential actual donations or marketing deal pledges that haven't been consummated yet, because you know the kids aren't here and they don't even know who the kid's going to go to. But they've said, "Hey, you I'm going to go ahead and just trust you with a deal." And it could go to a kid that's already on the team. It could go to a kid that is on the team next fall. You can see how this gets really, really dicey.
Of that war chest, what's the ratio that is like, you know, people who are part of the Swarm Collective, they donate their $25 or whatever going towards like community, opportunities for everyone versus, you know, marketing specific players getting bigger checks?
It's probably a third at the moment. It's probably a third, maybe a little north of a third, that is collective going towards the everybody has gets the same amount, has the same opportunity. Kluver or McNamara get the same opportunity.
I would have made more than his ass.
and then the other piece is probably two thirds of it, which is
okay.
which is marketing deal, you know, for Caleb Johnson or for some, you know, you put, we put the businesses in touch with the kid and we help them come up with some kind of an arrangement and the kid gets to profit on image and likeness more so than maybe his teammates, because he's one of the better players. So
just for example, Deary Bros couldn't just go to Jack Campbell and be like, hey, we want you to be the face of Deary and we'll give you a truck for a lease and we'll give you, you know, X amount of dollars. Like, they can't do that. They have to call you and you put them in touch with the agent or something.
They can go straight to Jack Campbell. But the problem there is then Jack Campbell's on his own. He's on his own to report everything. He's on his own to pay his taxes. He's on his own to negotiate the deal, make sure that the legal work is right. One of the things that the Swarm does is we'll make sure that the contract is not sliding the student athlete in any way, shape, or form. We'll help the student athlete with all of the back-end reporting. We'll make sure that we'll also protect the business to make sure that, hey, you know, so the business will pay us. We hold the money. We make sure that the student athlete fulfills his end of the deal. Once that's done and the business is satisfied, then we release the money to the student athlete. And so, and again, we're not trying to, this isn't us trying to make money. This is trying to protect the student athlete and get them as many deals as we can.
Yeah, no,
that's nice.
Especially as a college kid, having that, you know,
someone looking out for you. Like, when you're 18, you know, and so
I don't want to file taxes as an 18-year-old. I don't even know what the hell.
Well, they're going to have to file.
Medicare is at that point.
They're going to have to file the taxes, but at least we'll be able to tell them what their tax burden is looking like, right?
Right. What to put away for when April comes around.
Yeah. So
hell, I'm 20.
They don't have to use us. They don't have to use us, but a lot of them do. Caitlin Clark doesn't use us. Caitlin Clark has her own. She has her own people, and that's totally fine.
Caitlin Clark is loaded.
She's got people.
She's got more
people with Nike deals have people.
God damn.
Yeah. People who are the face of Hy-Vee have people.
That's it.
Good for her.
Good for her. I'm happy for her.
Holy so shit. We kind of talked about, like, you know, rules with, you know, gray lines, asterisks, quotation marks around them.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of, it's like the Wild West, you know, everyone's saying, like, you know, it's anything goes at this point. What is, like, the enforcement on the NCAA side of things looking like? Like, is, do they have a staff towards this stuff? Do you ever get contacted by the NCAA? Is there a sheriff at all, or are we in the Wild, Wild West with, you know, it's whoever's got more clips in the chamber or whatever?
Well, I have not been contacted by the IRS. By the NCAA or the IRS, as it pertains to this, I would think that so the NCAA can't control me. I mean, they just can't. What they can do, though,
no
is
one can control,
they control the eligibility. They can control the eligibility of the kid, right? So I mean, the worst I think that the NCAA could do is make some kid ineligible to play for Iowa because of impermissible stuff as it pertains to NIL. That would, in my view, and again, this hasn't happened really yet. You're talking about Wild West. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of this, but that would seem like that would be the enforcement, if there is any. It would be on the kid's eligibility.
Yeah, sure, makes sense.
I feel like the whole thing is so dirty that I'm going to get arrested just for being in this conversation.
Might get audited.
Yeah. Are you stressed out all the time?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've got, but not necessarily about NIL stuff. I'm in the middle of Hurricane Alley here, trying to get my life in order. And I've got another business and 105 performance reviews that I have to be ready to dole out over the next 2 weeks. So I'm worried about that. But for your question, when I know it was more about NIL, am I stressed out? No, I mean, it's actually been a lot of fun, to be honest.
That's good. I'm glad you're enjoying
because
it.
Because I've met so many great people. I mean, yeah, I've met so many great people, donors that I've never met before. They're really wealthy, and there are some of these people just awesome people. And you kind of go, man, I'm pinching myself to get to know these people. I've had a blast. Bruce Rastetter, the former president of the Board of Regents. I've gotten to know him. He's a hoot. I mean, I've enjoyed hanging out and talking to Bruce. He's a huge Hawk fan, and he's been very supportive to us.
Yeah, Bruce has some
bucks too.
Bruce got some pockets on him.
Yeah. He
owns more land than God, I think.
He does okay. Yeah. There've been a lot of folks that I've gotten to meet that I will probably be lifelong friends. So
that's awesome. On the personal side, do performance reviews really, are they worth your time? That's a no.
Yes, because I think they are, just because it helps. It's a chance for me to give feedback that I've been wanting to give, but I just haven't had the venue to give it. And hopefully it will refocus everybody to do what I want them to do next year. So yes, they're necessary. Are they a pain in my ass? Oh, yes. Do I really kind of dread them to some level? Yes. And is everybody's raise not enough? I'm sure they're everybody's overworked and underpaid. And so I get to hear about that every year.
What kind of frequency are you communicating with Tyler Barnes, the coaching staff? I have to imagine it's close, because you guys want to be on the same page, right?
Yeah, I'm right. And some of it too is social too, because one of the reasons I'm doing this is because I consider a lot of those folks my friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
So sometimes it has nothing to do, our communications may have nothing to do with football.
Sure.
Or basketball. Lisa Bluder and her staff have been a little bit more distant, but Fran, his staff, Kirk, his staff, I do hear from them quite a bit. And this is all new to them too. And they're trying to understand the landscape, what we do, what we don't do. So it's a very, I do feel the loss of the football losses hurt me more now than they did a year ago when I was Mr. Casual Fan. I feel like I'm part of Iowa football. I feel like I'm part of Iowa basketball more so than I used to.
You are. You're going to the banquet Sunday.
I'm one of the 600 invitees. That's pretty. I can't.
You're going to enjoy it.
I can't believe I made it.
I can. You're an important guy now.
Dude, that is going to be the Jack Campbell show of all Jack Campbell shows.
Well, he just won the Butkus today. I think he's talk about a war chest. He's got it at this point.
Dude. He's going to need a goddamn ship to bring back his loot. I mean,
good for him.
He won the butt kiss, dude. The best linebacker in all of college football wears 31, stands 6'5", and plays linebacker for the Iowa Hawkeyes.
It's a good thing you didn't have to pay for him, because he would have been expensive.
I'm so happy I didn't have to hit that guy. I'll bet it hurts so bad.
Yeah, guaranteed.
He's a heck of a player, no doubt.
There was a question, a funny question, Brad, from our private Discord. Asking if how much money it's going to take to find a bunch more Cooper DeJeans. How do we find like 20 more Cooper DeJeans, and how do we pay them?
I think we just tell little Iowa born kids that they aren't good enough. I think we just keep doing that over and over again. And it breeds these gritty little bastards that are like, I'm going to show you.
He's really good too, isn't he?
He is.
And what's the name of his small hometown? It's some little bitty thing. I don't know.
It's Odebolt, Arthur, Battle Creek, Ida Grove. OABCIG.
There you go. I don't know where we're going to find many of those, but what it does say though, is I think he was ranked like the 7th best player in Iowa coming out of high school. Think about that. The people who do the recruiting ratings aren't exactly perfect.
I was like top 40 at linebacker in our class.
I believe that for sure.
Dude, just think about that. There are not 6 people in the state of Iowa performing better than Coop right now in his class.
No, absolutely.
There might not be 6 people performing in any area of life better than Coop.
And I'll tell you, one of the things in being kind of close to everything and going to fall camp and watching, he plays, he can play any position in the in a secondary. I mean, he can play.
That's like, the quote we heard coming out of or coming into the season, right? Somebody said, what position is Cooper DeJean going to play? And one of the coaches said, whatever he wants.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll tell you, you know, people, this is one of the things that I have grown to appreciate being closer to the program than what I had before is, you know, people were complaining about, why hasn't Cooper DeJean been returning punts this whole time, right? I mean, that's a question you guys have probably even talked about on your show. I haven't listened to every one, but Cooper DeJean, he should be returning punts. Well, if you think about it, the kid had to learn like five different positions on defense.
Right? He's only got so much gas in him.
Then you expect him to be over there with LeVar Woods doing special team stuff too? I mean,
I was calling for him to be quarterback.
He's still a young kid. Yeah, well, that's the other thing. People think you're just going to plug him in at quarterback and he's going to know all the plays and be able to play quarterback. People have just have unrealistic expectations of the kid.
He's our modern day Niall Kinnick.
He's really awesome. It was towards the end of camp, and I don't remember which coach told me, but he says, "You know who's leading our team in touchdowns in fall camp?"
Cooper.
I'm thinking, I don't know, Caleb Johnson, Gavin Williams, LaShawn Williams, you know, Nico Regan. Who is it? Or Laporta, right? No, it's Cooper DeJean. He's got more pick sixes than any offensive player has touchdowns.
That should have been a giant red flag.
Yeah, that might have been a sign.
Well, I didn't at the time. I thought of it as like, wow, this guy's something.
Yeah.
Also, a little bit of a red flag.
So it's no surprise that the guys had pick sixes during the season too. You know, the guy's a nose for the football.
Yeah.
By about week six of our offensive performance, I was the one calling for Coop to just play Wildcat because it can't get worse. So we might as well just try and do something cool.
Yeah. Another question, Brad, this is like a simple one, just kind of an inside baseball. People are curious. How do the payments work with, how do the guys get money? Do you guys have just like straight transfer to their bank accounts? They fill out like bank information.
Yeah. So we've got a pretty strong infrastructure where, you go to Iowa Swarm and you become a member, for example. And you can contribute online, iowaswarm.com, in case anybody's listening that wants to become a member. You become a member, and the money goes to sort of our online bank account. And a member of the football team or basketball teams, when they sign up, they sign the documents to say that they're going to adhere to all of our rules. And as part of signing up, they provide us with their ACH information with their bank accounts. Okay. And so when they go to a charity event or something, they have to take a picture of themselves there and prove that they did what they were supposed to do. And then once that's submitted, then we can just hit send payment and boom, just like that. Cool. Caleb Johnson has his money.
Has anyone requested just a big old bag of $20 bills?
Cash.
Straight cash, no change.
No, nobody's requested that.
If someone wants cash, Brad, don't give it to them.
No.
Do not give them cash.
I remember a handful of our teammates who would just go cash the scholarship check, just straight cash every week, every month. Yeah,
and I know exactly what it was going to.
There you go.
How much right now, and I imagine based on what you've already told us, how much right now of the well of money that you guys have as the Swarm Collective is coming from the bigger one-time donations versus the yearly subscriber base?
I mean, it's the same probable answer as what I was saying before. So two-thirds of it probably. We got 3 million. Two-thirds of it is, you know, so-and-so saying I'm going to give $100,000.
Sure.
Or I'm going to give $200,000. We just nailed down a corporate sponsor, hoping to make a big announcement soon that's going to give us at least $500,000 a year.
That's
super cool.
That's huge.
So that's big, and the goal is to actually make it more. So
what's your fundraising guy's name again? Remind
Scott
me.
Scott Brickman. Yeah.
He's doing a good job.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. And I of course I take all the credit wherever we go for.
We might need to hire our own Scott over here at the walk-ons. Start upping these funds.
Scott's doing a great job.
That's awesome. Is there any way outside of the donations that people can help? That was one of the questions.
Oh, absolutely. It's about awareness. I mean, think about it. We got only got 1,000 members. Think about how many Hawk fans there are out there. And you know, our lowest sort of denomination is $19.58 a month. And
it's coffee, people.
And for that, I mean, you also get a t-shirt, you'll get, I guess, a bumper sticker. But also you also get a card that you can go and get. It's like, you know, several of the businesses around town will give, you know, 50% off pints or whatever, food, buy one, get ones or whatever at a lot of the eateries around Iowa City. You know, you can make it such that your $20, you almost don't even feel it. If you're in the Eastern Iowa area,
we should do like a promo code and like swarm members get like X percent off of merch or something like that.
Yeah. And yes. But really, really, if I could ask, if they're not going to give money, which I totally understand, just telling your friends and family about it, because everybody knows someone who's a Hawk fan that once they kind of understand what we're all about, what we're trying to do, they may be able to talk someone else into being a member.
Sure.
So that's really
awareness.
Awareness is big. And we, I will tell you this, I know we're probably getting close to the end here, but without a successful NIL program, Iowa athletics is going to fail. And I could say that about any Power Five program. If they don't have their act together or get their act together on their NIL front, those programs are going to take giant steps backwards. And I'm not trying to say that to try to, I'm just saying that's the way that college athletics is headed, whether we like it or we don't like it. That's really immaterial. It's really more about how do we manage this the right way and help the Hawks be successful. And I think we're off to a pretty good start here.
You're doing something right. Cause Cade said so, and he's probably the biggest transfer in the entire country right now in the portal so far. So
I don't think there's any question. I don't see any other college football playoff quarterbacks in the portal.
He's potentially the biggest recruit in Iowa history, dude, because usually recruits come out of high school and a 5-star is the best you can do. This guy's been in a college football playoff and won a Big Ten title game. Like, that's a pretty big recruit.
Pretty big recruit, and we also have an offensive tackle coming out of Southeast Polk that's
maybe.
Come on. He's coming.
All right.
Brad ain't going to let him go.
I trust Brad.
I do trust you, Brad.
I think he's coming. But Drake, to your point about big recruits coming out of high school, he may be the biggest recruit we've ever had coming out of high school.
He's one of the highest ranks you can get.
Yeah, he's like the number one rated offensive lineman in the country, depending on who you ask, coming out of high school. And then when you've got a quarterback who's just transferring in, that's clearly one of the picks of the litter in the transfer portal. And what's really great about this guy is he committed without even visiting. He's visiting this weekend. He's visiting right now, actually. I think he's
right now.
He's at the basketball game right now. But he committed without even visiting. Why? I think it's because he said this on his podcast, on that podcast today. He didn't care about all the fluff. He cares about the opportunity, cares about, you know, really what's out in front of him. He sees the big picture of all this. And he also knows that the sooner he commits, the sooner he can help recruit. And
he talked about culture too. Like, it matters.
Yeah. Culture does. Ferentz does a great job of that. You guys know that.
And I think that's where people are a little concerned, maybe too much, is the teams and the staffs who are still able to cultivate the kind of culture that wins, is it's still going to matter. And it's going to matter, and it's clearly shown in a big time get like Cade.
Might matter even more.
I would imagine. Yeah. I was Kevin. I think it matters way more.
Because once you have kids that are worried more about money than playing, then it takes a hell of a lot more leadership to make sure everyone stays together. I feel like
look no further than Texas A&M.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, yeah, it's going to matter. I think culture is going to matter even more. And that's one of the things that I'm really excited with our collective is that there's the piece of it that everybody gets the same. And then there's the business side of it where certain companies may contract with individuals on the team to you know, for marketing purposes. But when it comes to our collective, we can say, you know, with a straight face that you know, we're fine with it. Caleb Johnson gets the same as whoever else.
You were trying to think of the long snapper. His name's Luke Elk. Don't worry.
Okay, that's him. Yeah.
Real quick before you go, before we stop recording, do you know, have you heard, now that you've been in the game a little bit more, maybe you've talked to other collectives, maybe not. What are the crazy numbers that you've heard? Like, what does Texas A&M have? Do they have $30 million in their collective right now? I mean, do you have any idea?
That's the thing.
People, we're not going to advertise for other schools, Clue.
They like to keep it close to the vest. And that's actually one of the hardest things too. And when you start to hear these numbers, none of it's verifiable.
Yeah.
Right. You know, like for example, you know, everybody can know how much money Kirk Ferentz makes.
Yep.
It's public information, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not necessarily known what so-and-so was actually getting paid on at Texas A&M to be their linebacker. You don't really know. They can make it, they can say stuff, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's true.
True.
As far as what collectives, you know, I think that our collective in the Big Ten is Ohio State's and Nebraska are probably out in front of everybody. Because of, they've got some billionaire backers.
Warren.
Yeah. But you know, we're not far behind. We're behind them, but we're doing well so far. But it's only going to be successful if we can get the masses behind us. We can't continue to rely on the big money donors every single year to be writing the big checks, right?
Yeah.
At some point we need 30,000 Hawkeye fan members of Swarm contributing. That's really what we have to have.
Get on it. That's you, the listeners. Brad, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll chat in a second about a couple ideas, but I think that what you have done has been impressive. And obviously people saw that the other day when Cade committed and all of a sudden you're getting a bunch of signups. Hopefully we can help you get a few signups, help get the word out. We'll continue to do as much as we can. And if you're sitting on the couch right now or at the grocery store, iowaswarm.com, go sign up at the $10,000 level. Sign up at the $10,000 level. Don't worry about your kid's education.
It's tax deductible.
Don't worry about groceries. There's more important things out there. And it's the iowaswarm.com. Okay. Thanks for coming on, Brad. We'll talk to you guys soon. Peace.
Peace.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons, where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.